SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes in. Just a fabulous visit with Tony. Unbelievable. And lots of great information. I ran down just now, and very frequently I'll get a cup of coffee. I just had half of a pear. I got to tell you, after my attack on bananas, was that last week? I will pay homage to pear. Absolutely fabulous Bartlett pear. Let's see, a pear, you don't have to worry about the pear. You get a nice window of opportunity and the ripeness on a pear. If you like your pear a little firm, you like it a little softer, you get at least three good days of options. And it doesn't matter either. That's another nice thing about pears. But you got a Bartlett, you got yourself your Bosque, that kind of crispy, crunchy, a little more on the crunchy side. Bosque, red pear. How about the red pear? Bill Gallo, what's your favorite kind of pear?
Oh, I can't think about food right now. I am actually at Far Hills on a hilltop, and the wind's blowing, the sun's out, and I just watched the morning line favorite for the Grand National jury duty in a light gallop. So I'll have a pair when I get back.
Well, we can't wait to get to Far Hills on Saturday. And, after a little bit of a concern about the weather, things have actually shaped up nicely.
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day. In fact, it'll be the warmest day of the weekend. It looks like 60 degrees, and there was some chance of rain. It looks like there's no chance of rain now, so we're delighted. I've walked the race course yesterday. I normally don't get here this early, but obviously we're all kind of eager because everything that's going on here on championship day with the parimutuel wagering. So I've been with Guy Torsolari, and it's just an amazing place. I know you've been here. It's almost indescribable. The venue itself, the foreign participation, the ground is just absolutely perfect. The wind's blowing, and it's dried out. It was on the soft side. It firmed up a little bit yesterday. It's getting tighter and tighter, which is going to be good. It's going to be a very fair surface. It'll probably be labeled good. It won't be firm, but I think the good going, which will be similar to last year's ground, it gives us the best chance for an honest day of racing.
Well, and of course, we had the conversation Tuesday with Guy, and went through a lot of the technical aspects because of the concern, or not concern, but the execution that was involved with the laying of fiber optic line, and for people to think, they're setting up mutuals, how tough could it be? This isn't a racetrack. This is a mammoth farm, and even electric service, not necessarily in every spot that you need it. So this was a major undertaking.
Hey, absolutely. Bill Knopf and his crew from Monmouth were here, and the sports tech people, they were here yesterday testing everything. Everything is up and going. It's remarkable. It really is. It's so exciting to be here. It's really looking forward to the races. And as we're speaking, jury duty's coming over to say hello. but jury duty, in case you don't know, there's quite a bit of foreign invasion, which is challenging for the Americans. Gordon Elliott's got two in the big race, and the one-horse Clark Ham, he actually ran in Saratoga and Belmont and stayed with Ricky Hendricks. But he's here tomorrow, but this jury duty is a formidable horse, and he, along with Hammersley Lake, who ran in the race last year, they're going to be co-favorites. I did the morning line yesterday, and I kind of agonized over it, and I made jury duty the 2-1 favorite over Hammersley Lake at 3-1. So it's going to be a fascinating day of races, and far beyond the big race. It's as you mentioned earlier, 7 races, nearly all stakes races. We split the novice, and I know you had mentioned this. Guy had mentioned it. We split a $125,000 novice race. We had 20 entered. 2 came out at scratch time, so we split it 9-9. They are really, really good races. So the cumulative effect of this card is it's extremely important for the NSA, and it's going to be watched worldwide, and obviously now you can bet on it. So it's these are very exciting times for steeple chasing in America.
Let's talk and utilize your. I figured you had made the line, and I printed out the PPs Monday after they became available after the draw, and then reprinted them this morning with the morning lines, because this is going to be a new exercise for people to be able to bet on 7 straight chasing events, and only really. The only thing similar really has been Cheltenham, to be honest. I mean, right? That's the closest parallel. And talking about the feature, give us at least a look at the horses we're less familiar with. And as I discussed with Guy, the situation that denied Zanjabil an opportunity to compete, and so he is in the clubhouse seemingly, I think, Bill, with a stranglehold on the Eclipse Award.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to think that he's got the Zanjabil has the Eclipse locked up. He had a great year with us. Unfortunately, he did get injured preparing for this race, and he's out for the remainder of the season. Should be back next year. Probably next fall, but with him out of the mix, he would have been the favorite in this race. There's no question about it. But it's just such an interesting race. I mean, you can almost make a case for every horse in the race. It's very hard to decipher some of the foreign form. I mean, obviously the horses that run over there are running in softer ground. They would have loved the turf on Tuesday. As I said earlier, come Saturday, I think it'll firm up to good. So that helps the American horses a little bit. The funny thing about the feature race, we have 9 horses in the race. The only American-bred horse in the race is All the Way Jose, who ran a terrific third in this race at level weights. He ran third last year, got beat ahead. He's kind of the lone American bred. We've got horses from France, Germany, Ireland. It's quite amazing. I can't say enough about not only the race but just the whole card. It's to build these races out. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully the crowd here embraces it and around the world.
Beyond jury duty, who you touched on from Gordon Elliott, and we got Hinterland, who you made 10-1, and he's a funny horse, 33-1 in the Lonesome Glory, and was absolutely terrific, and gave Zanjabil a nice tussle late in the Lonesome Glory. He has not competed at Far Hills, so we don't. We don't necessarily know how he's going to take to this kind of a course and the 2 miles and 5/8 either. I don't think he's been that far in his whole career. So Hinterland, I'm trying to look for some value to potentially to put with the jury duty.
Absolutely. Well, Hinterland was closing. I mean, you mentioned closers the extra distance. He could logically be closing in on the early speed, and I agree with you. 10-1, he's a value bet for sure. He's Jack Fisher trains him. He entered 17 horses for Saturday's races. I don't think in my career a trainer has ever entered 17 horses in any one day of racing with us. But Hinterland, I know he likes the horse. I know he loved the way the horse ran at 33-1 at Belmont Park. You know, on the counter side, if there's anything going against him, it might be the weight. He was getting a bundle of weight. He was getting 14 pounds from Zanzibil that day. This is level weights. All horses carry 56. And if weight has anything to do with it, that might compromise Hinterland a little bit. But I will tell you, the weight raise didn't affect the race last year because those horses would not have been carrying the same weight. And they hit the wire together last year with Mr. Hot Stuff and Modem and all the way Jose. So sometimes weight is a factor and sometimes it's not. But if I had to say the positive about Hinterland, he's a closer, he's going longer, and he would be a logical pick at a price. The negative part is, can he handle the extra weight?
A couple of notes that jump out at me that are I think worth considering, and the presence of Clarkham in here, who you know came for the Turf Riders, stayed for the Lonesome Glory, and shows up in here as well. And Clarkham beat Jury Duty at Galway back in August, and yet his efforts so far in North America have been really lacking. I mean, he got beat 25 in the Turf Riders and 15 in the Lonesome Glory. One thing that could augur a form reversal is getting back to, you know, an undulating course, to a, you know, to a rolling style steeplechase course. It might be that the speed of the flat track just didn't sit with him.
For sure, you've analyzed it perfectly, and they've been saying it all along that Clarkham was not suited for Saratoga with the 7 furlongs, tight turns, speedy race course. A little bit better suited for Belmont. I don't know if you remember the race, but on the final turn at Belmont, that Lonesome Glory, he looked like a winner and just got tired late. I think the undulating course here, I haven't been to Galway, but if I had to guess, Galway probably looks a little bit like Far Hills. It is undulating, and it's out in the country, and I think Clarkham is going to be suited beautifully for Far Hills. And he's going to be on the front end, and if he can carry that speed for 2 5/8 miles, you said it, he beat Jury Duty back in, I think it was August 1st. But he beat him then at Galway, and he might just upset the favorite. I do think Jury Duty will go off the betting favorite, but Clarkham is a very, very live horse, from another one from Gordon Elliott. And he's also
6-1.
This young fella, Jack Kennedy, he's very young. I think he's 17 or 18. Jack Kennedy, if you recall, he rode Zanzibil here at Far Hills last fall and won the novice race. So he's an up-and-coming jockey. He's very, very talented. So the combination of Kennedy, Gordon Elliott, Clarkham going long on an undulating course, it's a dangerous, he's a dangerous horse.
And speaking of potentially dangerous horses that need to be discussed, let's see. How about the winner of the Grand National in 2015, Dalaland? And I got to expect that Cyril Murphy and Mr. Naylor, they're not running him here, you know, just for the sake of running. I can't believe that he wouldn't be ready to run off the year and a half injury break.
Yeah, he said it's another good point you make. This is one of our top horses for sure. Going back to 2015, he's really, really good, and he put together a great effort in winning this race and then followed it up with a devastating blowout in the Colonial Cup in the November of 2015. Got a 2-year break, and he came back in the Iroquois last two Mays ago, May of 17, and he pulled up. Obviously, he had some sort of a setback there. So he's coming off some sort of an injury. Cyril Murphy would not be running this horse unless he was at the top of his game. It's a lot to ask without a prep race. The horse ran at a trial on at Shawan Downs 3 weeks ago. It was a little trial with some training flat races, and I know the horse got a spin there and looked very good. I was not there. I was told he looked fit and he ran well. But, you know, he's a very, very good horse that's been with Cyril for 3 years now. And at his best, he's probably the best horse in the race. Can he win it without a prep? I couldn't tell you. We're going to have to find that out.
Well, the Grand National nine-horse field, and including a winner of this race, and whenever you get horses that have already shown an aptitude for Far Hills, it goes a long way, because the uphill stretch run, you better be fit. Let's talk about the two Foxbrooks, and we'll actually talk about the second division first, Bill, because the second division and the Grand National are going to be paired with the Empire Distaff and the Empire Classic for a Belmont Far Hills Pick Four. So for those that are going to consider the Pick Four, let's get them a winner in the second division of the Foxbrook.
That's fifth race, yeah. How exciting is that? And what a great idea. Joe Longo from NARA, he came up with the concept, and he approached us. We thought it was a great idea. Mama thought it was a great idea, and Bill Knopf. And God, that's just terrific to combine those four races. But as far as our race, the first part of that, obviously it's the second half of the division. I'm not quite sure which is the tougher half, but I will tell you that there's a very formidable looking horse in the race. Once again, Irv Naylor, Cyril Murphy, Am Shell. He's come over for this. He's done very little wrong. He's only run four times. He's got three wins and a second. He's a four-year-old, a baby by our standards. I made him the 9-5 favorite. He just looks so formidable, even though he doesn't have the experience of some of the others in the race. But I think he's going to be very, very tough. Graham Waters gets the ride, who's been riding for Cyril for a month or so. Does a really nice job. Won a race for him at Virginia Fall last Saturday. I like Amshell for sure as the favorite. But there's some other interesting horses in the race. Experience-wise, Fisher has a horse called Ice It, the five horse, who's got tons and tons of experience. And his last race was at the Enemann at Belmont, and he was very good. He got beat a half by a real nice horse called Boss Man. Boss Man, as you can see, is in the first division. So they're separated on Saturday. So Ice It should run well for sure off of that really nice spin. There's a horse called All For Us who won his last at Shawan. That's a country track with some undulation in it back on September 29th. He looked very good doing it. It's another Fisher horse. Fisher comes in with a heavy hand in every race. There's another one he's got, the one horse. Could be a price horse. He's a lightly raced jumper. His name is Sight, owned by Jill Johnston, who owned Mr. Hot Stuff last year's winner of the Grand National. And this horse, he broke his maiden at Iroquois, and that typically is an indication of a really good maiden winner. And he's been sitting on this horse for a while, and he took the summer off, which means he likes him. He actually shipped him down to Lexington to give him a run at High Hope, our first fall meet, and he scratched him because the ground was soft, which was another indicator to me that he really likes this horse. And Fisher points his horses beautifully to specific races, and he's got the whole barn raring to go right now. So Fisher holds a heavy hand. They're going to have to deal with Amshell, the English bred that raced in Ireland before going to Cyril Murphy. So it's a really good race. It's a really good two races as part of this Pick Four.
Well, and you mentioned Fisher's assault on this spot. He's also got a fourth horse for Sean Clancy, River D, and Jibra Faro. And we'll talk to Sean for tomorrow and get Sean's got quite a few running on Saturday. That's the second division of the Foxbrook. Let's look at the first division. Bill Gallo with us. And, of course, this first opportunity to bet at the whole card and bet Parimutuel at Far Hills, including the cross-country pick four. And I do see that getting in the spirit of things, Twin Spires, Bill, I don't know if you saw this yet, Twin Spires is offering a win bet, $5 win bet on each race. You can use it in each race. If your horse fails to finish, you'll get your money back. So insurance for anybody that that leaves the course.
I like that. That's like our runner's reward. We waive all the fees in races where a horse does not finish the race. I like the concept.
Well, this other, the fourth race that goes at 3 o'clock, the first division of the Foxbrook, as you mentioned, 7-9 in here, and a lot of the same players, Fisher and Cyril Murphy, Ricky Hendricks as well, but Boss Man from Arch Kingsley, and of course came to Saratoga, won the allowance early in the meet, finished a good third in the Walsh before winning the Entenmann, and Bossman really has been consistent through the summer and into the fall.
Consistent's the word. He's a really nice horse. He's got good flat form, which, as we always talk about, is important. You've got to have the speed and the endurance. He hadn't really done anything wrong. He was third in the Walsh, but beaten that day by Surprising Soul, who's in the race, then came back and won the Entenmann. It's Boss Man and Surprising Soul are going to be tough. There's no question about it. Surprising Soul is inching up in the weights. You'll see he's carrying 162. Every time you win one of these winter races, you pick up 3 pounds in this novice condition. So he's carrying 162 pounds. It's an onerous amount of weight. But he's going to be tough. He should be running off the speed, possibly, of Boss Man. And if he can close and get past him, there's a possibility he can win the race. But those two look really, really tough in the race. There's another horse that came from Gordon Elliott's yard, the Veneer of Charm. And if you think back to Zanzibel, it's a similar scenario. 4-year-old comes over for the novice race. Ricky Hendricks trains him now. But Veneer of Charm is a 4-year-old. He's kind of an interesting possibility from over there. Gordon, races horses all around the world. He just doesn't send them over to run them. When he sends them, he's looking to win. So he's a little bit of a question mark in my mind. But clearly, I think that it's going to come down to Boss Man and Surprising Soul.
You also have Belisarius in here, who's had a absolutely terrific year. Has been on the board all 5 starts since March, and took a while to break the maiden, but has done it. And this is one that's going to carry the familiar colors of Gary Barber, the pink jacket with the black B. And, I do notice in this group, as it happens, there's a lot of speed. There's a lot of horses that have attended paces, Bill. And
yes,
we may want to look for somebody that can sit and come with a finish. And you know what? How about Sean Clancy in here with City Dreamer?
I couldn't agree with you more. The closer could be formidable here. You're going to run down the speed, and there's a lot of speed in it. It would not surprise me, for sure. The one thing I wanted to tell you about Belisarius is an interesting horse. Kind of lightly raced over jumps. That one of his wins in the summer was on the flat at Suffolk. He broke his maiden nicely at Monmouth and then was actually going to run at Belmont Park in the Entenmann and got sick just before that race. The morning of that race, in fact, Kate Dalton called and I had to scratch him. He made a quick recovery. But I know the barn thinks highly of the horse. I think it's a talented horse from a formidable owner. And Kate Dalton does a terrific job. And her husband, Bernie, does the riding, also does a great job. So, but he's one of those speed horses. So it's basically Boss Man, Surprising Soul, and Belisario's fighting for the lead. And somebody could come late. Another one to look at would be a Fisher horse called Pick'em. He could come from off the pace. If you look at his PP, it wouldn't surprise me if they kind of held him up early and came with a late run, Sean McDermott. I think he likes the soft turf. He galloped at Lexington. It was beyond soft. It was hock deep at Lexington. It was raining for, I don't know, 2 days there. And he likes that softer turf, and it's going to be a nice give to the ground on Saturday. So it's a good one. I can tell you that. I'm trying to figure out which was the tougher half of the split, and it's kind of a coin flip.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think the only notable difference really is that pace scenario. There's seemingly a less pace in the second division. That's really the only. Quality-wise, they're equal, but more pace right. In the fourth than in the fifth. The card starts with the Gladstone 10-pack in there for $50,000, and a lot of horses that are looking to just kind of a quick glance. I really hadn't looked at it closely, but. You've got quite a few maidens, involved.
Well, it's a stake, and it's for three-year-olds. They're all maidens, actually.
Right.
The interesting part of this race is that it's literally a run-back race from Shawan on September 29th. The entire field, I think the one through eight finishers in that race are participating here.
How about
which is
that?
Amazing. The winner was a horse called Roller Rolls On,
right.
Leap-a-Coit. Doug Fout trained. He looked good winning. He just eked it out by a half a length. He beat a filly. Snowy Hill was second, and a really nice second. She could move up off of that race. But if you look at the others in the race, they all were in the same race. It's one through eight finishers from that race. And then what do? Then you throw in another Gordon Elliott horse, the three-year-old they shipped over, and Hendricks has him now, but Jack Kennedy, the horse is the eight horse called Caldback, and he arrives tomorrow from Hendricks' barn, and he'll get a little school tomorrow with some of the Gordon Elliott horses, but he could be a wild card, but I will tell you that it's a very interesting race to handicap because they all ran against each other.
I should mention you pointed out, and I brought up Roller Rolls On for Leap-a-Coit, who of course a win in the Gladstone would set him up to go to the Breeders' Cup in 2 weeks, and potentially have a Gladstone Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly double because he's got Sipakin Harbor. However, people that like to make these kinds of connections. Roller Rolls On is out of Class of 63, which was a Leap-a-Coit homebred herself, and she is the dam of Gunmetal Gray, who, of course, is going to compete in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So Leap-a-Coit, having a banner year, has been around the game a long time, both on the flat and over the hurdles.
Well, if he can win this race Saturday, I know he'll get a big kick out of it. And I don't think he was at Shawan. I'm sure he wasn't. He was might have been out of the country, but he didn't see the horse win at Shawan. I have a feeling he's going to be here on Saturday, and it would be a huge win for him, I'm sure. Not quite as as big as a Breeders' Cup win, but it would be a big one nonetheless.
Talent.
We do have a three-year-old champion, so the winner will be the three-year-old champion.
How about that? All right. So Lee with a chance to double up, because certainly the spinaway winner has got every chance going toward Breeders' Cup. Bill, the card is outstanding. Congratulations to you and the whole team, and really looking forward to getting down, and delighted. The weather's going to be great for anybody that is still thinking about coming. Make arrangements. Go to the website farhillsrace.org, and all the information is there. There's even, I think there's a couple of tailgate spots that are still available.
Yep, I'm sure there are. You can call the Fair Hill office, but it's going to be a perfect fall weather day. Come out and have some fun. And I normally say, you know, even if you like betting, most of our race meets that doesn't have parimutuel wagering, but this is the one time I can say, you know, come out to Far Hills, have a good time, but come with a lot of money and put it through the parimutuel, because it's going to make you pay attention to the racing a lot more. I can't tell you how excited I am about it. I'm a racetrack guy for many years, and you know, the addition of parimutuel is just a game changer for us. We've got high definition video replays now, and we're changing a lot of things for the better. We're getting the attention of the American public and hopefully the international public. So, as I said earlier, these are really exciting times. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. If you can't get to Far Hills, go somewhere. It's where you can bet on the Monmouth product.
And, well, absolutely. The Monmouth, it's going to say Monmouth at Far Hills is the signal, and it'll be it should be a great day. And of course, you follow it up with down in Washington, the Gold Cup, next week, right? Also,
yeah, we bet again. We bet again. Yep. We'll have a 8-race card at in the Plains, Virginia. It'll be a great card down there, and it'll be live streamed, and you can bet there as well. So it's a new thing for us, but it's a good thing for us. But Far Hills was the one that really is going to put us on the map now, as far as changing the game. And Torsolari has done a great job, and I know you've seen this place. If someone hasn't seen it, it's remarkable just to visualize it, this place. You won't find a better race course. There's probably some similarities to, I haven't been to Kentucky Downs since it was called Dueling Grounds, but I haven't been there in a while, but it's similar to Kentucky Downs, and now it's really similar because you can bet on the races.
Bill Gallo, we will see you Saturday morning there in Far Hills, Bedminster, the absolute beautiful Jersey countryside, and it's going to be a special day. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your support, Steve.
Not at all. Bill Gallo, everybody. Let's take a break and come back. We'll flesh out the rest of the morning with a visit from Rich Ang. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and catch the summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. About 15 to top of the hour. Rich Ang going to join us from Las Vegas, of course, and presented by Gaming Today. And Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Rich, I have not read it, but I know that you posted a. I saw the was it yesterday or Tuesday, your latest installment at America's Best Racing, and I think it hit on some of the topic we hit last week. In fact, the brain drain a little bit out of Vegas.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, for reading it, and hopefully some of your listeners have read it too on America's Best Racing. But I touched upon the fact that. A company called DraftKings has hired three really top executives from the Vegas and Nevada race and sportsbook industry. They include Johnny Avello from Wynn Las Vegas, who's probably been on the show, I would suspect, at some point, and Frank Klinovic, who was head of the Caesars Palace race and sportsbook operations, and Ed Malinowski, who was doing the same for Golden Entertainment, and I know these folks. They're really solid, top of the line executives. They really understand what's going on with the racing sportsbook industry. And as each new state joins the roster of states offering legal sports betting, I think there's a thirst, there's a need for information, for knowledge, for experience, and you know, the best place to have it, the best place to get it. Is from Nevada, because we've had a mature race and sportsbook industry for, you know, going on 50, 60 years they've been doing it here. And it's highly regulated by the Nevada Gaming Control Board. So it's really a fertile ground if people are looking for bright minds in the industry.
Hey, Rich, have you heard any discussion or any murmuring along the same lines in terms of racetracks that are trying to position themselves in the various states to, you know, to be bet takers? So far we've seen them, you know, basically, you know, making arrangements with you know, more committed full-time betting shops, but wouldn't some racetrack organizations, wouldn't they be in the market for a risk assessment manager? I mean, isn't it something that they should be plugged into, or are we is the industry basically, you know, giving that role to whoever they make arrangements with?
Well, you know, that's an excellent question, Steve, because I think the answer starts with, you know, if you look at each individual racetrack entity or OTB that wants to have legal sports betting, to me it depends on how much they actually want to have on their plate. If they just basically want to, you know, in quote, lease the space and bring in a company, certainly that's one way to go. If they want to be much more active in the management and direction of what they're doing, then, you know, they might be interested in bringing in someone with industry experience. But it seems like a lot of the states have already been signing up deals with a couple of foreign companies, actually, William Hill and Betfair, both based out of England. And, you know, in a tangent, you know, one thing about bringing in these are really skilled operators. No, you know, and I'm certainly not questioning anything of that, but they do things a little bit differently over in England than they do here in the U.S. And at some point, I think the industry, the states have to have, you know, some consistency, you know, as far as, you know, how they're going to do business. I know each state right now, the federal government has given them the approval, the rights to, you know, to set up their own shop. But still, you know, there has to be a common thread, because the bettors are, you know, handicapping games, whether it's the NFL, NBA, hockey, baseball, whatever sport, and there has to be consistency throughout, so that you're talking the same language in one state as you are in another state. And Nevada, you know, certainly has a way, has done things in its own way for 50, 60 years, and I'm just kind of surprised that more states aren't just not adopting the Nevada model, but another model is being brought in from overseas. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out in the long run. But I think there'll be some changes to try to reach a middle ground, so that bettors don't get confused about anything as far as rules, regs, numbers, the rotations, you know, the number of rotations, things like that for the betting.
Well, one place to monitor and to keep tabs on the progress, whether it's in legislation, etc., as more and more states swing into action. There was a hearing yesterday, in fact, in Illinois, which would obviously be a mammoth territory. I mean, Chicagoland alone, and recommend people visiting and following Gaming Today News and all of their coverage of the gaming scene. And you mentioned the word consistency, and Rich, a consistent presence, as I suggested last week. You were on your way to the Orleans, and I said, well, the Matisse's, that's a regular spot for the Matisse family to find success, whether it's the Fall Classic or the Horse Player World Series. And sure enough, Dookie goes wire to wire.
You know, he pulled off a secretariat-like performance in the tournament. after the first couple of days, he literally did have a 31-lane lead, and it was just a sight to behold. They were sitting two tables away from where I was sitting, and every time they would win a race, you know, you would hear a commotion. And on Friday, Steve, the second day of the tournament, they had the audacity to win seven straight tournament plays in a row.
Oh, my God.
It was just remarkable. And, you know, anyone who out there listening who plays tournaments knows that, you know, a pick one is hard enough, you know, to move forward in a tournament. But to pick seven in a row is just, you know, I don't know what the odds are on that in tournament play, because you're not, it's not like playing a pick six where you're willing to take a $5 or $6 horse to stay alive in your bet and to move forward. In tournament play, you need a little meat on the bone, so you're looking for $10, $12, $15, $20 horses, higher than that, cap horses. So for them to knock off seven in a row, they just opened up such a humongous lead that everybody knew walking into the ballroom on Saturday morning that we were all playing for second.
Well, Duke wins by 3,300 points, quote-unquote. And Joe McCoy, I'll give everybody the names if you haven't seen the final standings. Duke, and Duke had a couple of entries. Joe McCoy, Tom Blosser, Steve Cohen, Bill Reichman, George Anderson, Mike Carlett, Rich Zimmerman, Rich Zip, and Doug Shank. That was your top ten. There were, I think, what, three? There was a big pool, huh? They had 330-plus entrants.
Yeah, the entries were up about 50% over last year. I can't exactly put my finger on it. I mean, I talked to the tournament organizers, and they were pleasantly surprised that people kept coming in on Thursday and signing up. And they just were going up and up and up. So, you know, that's a pleasant surprise, having 336. And, you know, it's ironic you mentioned Duke had two entries, because I think there was a point late in the day on Friday where the one entry had such a humongous lead in first place, and the other entry, Steve, had 0 points. Zero.
Yeah.
So everybody noticed that when they were looking at the board and saying, this is unbelievable.
And you know, you've discussed it, and you know, with our conversations with Pete Fornatale, you know, the two hand approach, and it's not unusual to see, you know, sometimes you see you know, parallel tracks for a while, and then typically those two entrants will diverge. But there is the occasion when you know, the plays stay, you know, stay successful for an extended period. But I've seen it the other way too, where one just completely strikes out, and you know, Duke, as eligible as any player in the country, you know, to get hot and just reel off wins, and it is one of the phenomenon that the tournament scene produces, where players as good as Duke and any of the other big names, you see them at the bottom of a leaderboard and having hit one out of 11, or it happens in both directions. I think if anything, it should make people feel good that, you know, when that happens, you realize that some of the best players in our whole game, that they have days where nothing goes right.
Yeah, you know, if people play tournaments the way a lot of the top tournament players do, you probably don't play horses unless they're $20 payout or up. And it's not that difficult to go through a day if you play 12 or 15 horses that are 10-1 odds, 9-1 odds and higher, that you could lose them all. I mean, it just happens. And, you know, ironically, for Duke to end up with one score at the top of the heap and the other score at the bottom, that's a dream for anyone who plays multiple entries, that you're able to put all the winners on one ticket and all the losers on the other. We actually dream of being able to do that if you're playing multiple entries. Too often, Steve, I'm sure you've talked about this with many players, you know, they'll have an A ticket and a B ticket, and all of a sudden, the A ticket, which is the ticket that had the higher score, all of a sudden the horses you play on the B ticket start winning, and they both end up being close to each other, or the B ticket turns into the A ticket because you have so many winners.
Yep.
On that. That's something.
Yep.
That's hard to manage, and there's a skill involved, but there's a lot of luck involved too.
Well, Rich, next week, the next two visits, we'll be focusing in on Breeders' Cup. Ahead of that, you got either a Santa Anita or a simulcast quick play for today? Real fast.
Well, I'll just give out a couple of horses real quick. They're not big prices, but horses that I'm probably going to single in my horizontal wagers. At Keeneland, in race number 4, I'm probably going to single the number 6 horse, Philanthropic. That's a Steve Asmussen horse who ran really well in debut and should move forward a second time. And at Santa Anita, a horse I'm going to single, I'm chasing that 20-cent pick 6. I actually like the angle of just trying to pick 6 winners and not go for the unique ticket. But in race number 7, I'm going to single the 5, Powder. Andrew Lerner's been doing a terrific job. Young trainer in Southern California. Very small barn, but he's been very clever with his claims and winning next time out.
I like it. Keeneland, Philanthropic, and Powder at Santa Anita. And it's a good name for a horse, because we always say, when it comes to, especially to Breeders' Cup weekend, keep your powder dry. That's there's the tie-in, right?
That's
Rich,
beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And, of course, Rich Visits brought to you by Gaming Today. Rich Ang, folks. Rich Ang for ProPick. And you can get his opinions on Southern California. RaceDayLasVegas.com. That was a fun morning. We'll thank Andrew Hawkins and Tony Black, Bill Gallo, and Rich Ang. Weekend preview tomorrow. I mentioned Santa Anita, obviously back on the docket today, Thursday card, along with virtually anywhere else you want to play. We got a nice full slate on this Thursday. Belmont, Charlestown, Delta. Delta started yesterday. They handled $1 million yesterday at Delta. Holy cow. Not a bad way to start the season. Golden Gate and everywhere else. Good luck today if you're playing. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.